you feel like your church marketing, particularly your social media, is stuck in a loop? Bible verse, prayer, sermon quote, hip graphic, worship song, and repeat. There's nothing wrong with having a rhythm to your content calendar, and if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But my guess is that at some point, this kind of loop experiences diminishing returns. Why does this happen, and what can we do about it? That's what we're talking about on today's episode of the MyCom Church Marketing Podcast. Thank you to everybody for listening. My name is Dan Wunderlich. I'm a United Methodist pastor, and happy Easter season to you. If you're following along in real time, I hope your Easter day was meaningful for you and your church. And in just a couple of weeks, we'll wrap up the season of Easter with Pentecost. And while I do honestly and authentically want to wish you a happy Easter season, it's actually a good entry point into today's topic. Why not all of your church marketing needs to look like church marketing? But first, let's put a pin in that. We'll come back. We need to define the problem. That loop that I was describing, what do all of those things have in common? Bible verses, prayers, worship songs. They're pretty much all easily identifiable as church marketing from a mile away. I feel like I don't need to explain it because you know it too. You likely follow at least a couple other churches on social media, either other local churches in your area or ones that friends or colleagues work at or churches you follow for inspiration. And when you're scrolling Facebook or swiping through Instagram stories, you always know immediately when you've hit a church post, don't you? And of course, the paradoxical thing is that though they're all so similar to other church posts stand out from everything else on social media. And what this means is that the people not connected to your church or not connected to church at all recognize them too, even if they can't quite put their finger on it. But here's another thing I probably don't need to fully flesh out because you get it. There are times when you are not in the mood for a church post. You see it, you recognize what it is, and you just keep on going. Why? Because you feel like you already know what they're going to say. You feel like you don't need it. You got your fix already at your own church. You've watched enough of these things to know that you're not going to get very much out of it. Or you're on social media to just find something interesting, funny, or to turn your brain off. You aren't looking for some life-changing experience. This, of course, is how everyone else feels from time to time. They know what we're going to say, or at least they think they do. They don't feel like they need it. They got their fix of life's answers and meaning from some other source, or they've seen enough church posts to know that they don't get very much out of them, or they're just on social media to be on social media and not have some deep encounter. So here's the question that I've been wrestling with lately. Why are we all stuck in this same loop? Is it because it's working? Is it working? Really? Or is it because even if it's not working, this feels like the stuff we should be posting? We're a church and churches post Bible verses. We're a church and churches post their sermons in full on social media platforms that people scroll with the sound off on mobile devices in busy and distracting places between tasks. And look, it's not that any of these things are bad in and of themselves. I don't mind giving hot takes on occasion, but one of them is not going to be that sharing the Bible is bad. The problem is that the things that make up our familiar loops are tools and techniques. Tools and techniques help us solve problems and accomplish a goal, yes, but they are not themselves the goal. And yet many of us, intentionally or not, seem more dedicated to our tools than we are to the role our work is supposed to play in the mission of our church. So I want to give you permission to expand your horizons. Now, I am not your pastor or your boss, unless this is Lisa from my church listening. And if it is, hey, Lisa, you're doing great. Keep up the good work. But if you're in the kind of work environment, church environment, where the host of the MyCom Church Marketing Podcast may be able to convince you or your pastor that you should be giving this a try, then you have my permission. So let's start with this. Not every post needs to be explicitly religious or even spiritual. But Dan, you say, we are a church, a religious organization, and churches post religious stuff. And we're tasked with making disciples out of both the people inside and outside our church. How are we supposed to do that if we aren't posting spiritual stuff? Now, I know you're not actually making these arguments or asking these questions. You are intelligent, mature Christians who have real relationships with real people. You know from your own experiences that you can be the presence of Christ for people in your real life without everything being explicitly religious or spiritual. In fact, if you were explicitly religious and spiritual in everything you do, you would probably creep out some of your friends. And yet we run our Facebook feeds like we're getting paid by the conversion. And I don't mean marketing conversions, but like people who have profoundly spiritual experiences while scrolling their phones in bed at night. And to be clear, I am not arguing to never post anything explicitly religious or spiritual. This is not a bait and switch operation, but I am arguing that if your church marketing is solely churchy posts that can be identified and dismissed from a mile away by people who feel like they don't need them, they will be identified and dismissed from a mile away by people who might actually be open to forming a relationship with your church. And here's where we pull that pin out of the topic of Easter. The most ironic thing about the topic that we're covering today is that Easter is arguably the most religious and spiritual day of the Christian church calendar, and yet what do most churches do around Easter time? What is it that we promote in addition to our services? Easter egg hunts, carnivals with face painting and games, free food, petting zoos. My church did a color run this year, which was awesome, by the way. And sure, some of the eggs have little crosses inside of them, and the goodie bags, of course, are stuffed with a card with Easter weekend worship info. But we seem to grasp that at a time when people or families might be open to coming to a church and to promote a day when we would really like to welcome new people. It takes more than just an ad with service times, or even more than a 30-second video with your pastor giving a mini devotional or preview of the Easter sermon. So what do these kinds of events do? What are they meant to communicate? Well, we love you. We understand you. We want to spend time with you. We want to give you an experience we think you'll love, even if you're not super comfortable with church or religion. We get that parents need a way to entertain their kids or run off some energy on a Saturday in the spring with good weather. Or how about this? We aren't weirdos. We like to have fun too. And while our church marketing budgets and honestly the time and energy needed from volunteers or even just the church trustees can't handle an Easter carnival-sized event regularly throughout the year, these underlying principles can be done through our regular church marketing channels. You see, what church marketing can do is open the door to building a relationship. This weird thing has kind of happened over the last couple of years, and it's really accelerated in 2020 and 2021 during the pandemic. More and more ministry is shifting online. And of course, so much of it was forced online this last year. And I do think it's really good that we're doing more quote unquote real ministry online. We've talked over and over again on this podcast about how our church marketing needs to be about more than just broadcasting announcements. We can't spend the 167 hours of the week that we aren't sitting in worship just trying to get people to come and sit in our building for that one. However, the work we do is part of a bigger system. In the marketing world, you'll hear about flowcharts and funnels. There's an intended pathway for prospective clients or consumers or customers to follow. Oftentimes, the pathway or the funnel starts really broad. We first just get our brand in front of people to create visual recognition or name recognition, and we start to teach people what our brand stands for. We give them something of value to begin to build a relationship, and especially if we're following something like Donald Miller's story brand formula, we start to help the person see that we recognize a problem or goal that they have in their life. And then we show them how what we offer will help them solve that problem or meet that goal. And ideally, the value they perceive that comes from solving the problem or meeting that goal is greater than what we're charging. That is product or service marketing, but it doesn't take more than a couple shifts in words or concepts to see that this is what our church marketing can do too. And so, yes, while I do think we should be doing the work of ministry online, if we're thinking strategically, the bigger flow not just has room for, but has an intentional and essential place for content that is not explicitly religious or spiritual. The point of that kind of content is to begin to build a relationship. When done well, this not explicitly religious or spiritual marketing actually opens the door for someone to receive or engage quote-unquote real ministry and not just swipe by. Okay, so here's how I kind of think about these posts. We care about what you care about. You see, the problem most church marketing is trying to solve is either you need Jesus or you need to find a church. But many people don't see either of these as a problem, even if they are actually their main problems. If we're offering solutions to problems that people don't think they have, it literally doesn't matter how good your marketing looks or how hip the fonts are. Why do we feel connected to certain people, organizations, institutions, or even brands? Because we feel like we care about the same things, we have shared interests, or even we face the same challenges and can empathize. This is the kind of connection some of our church marketing can work to build. Show people that your church, and even better, the real people in your church, care about the same things your community cares about and faces the same challenges. Here are some practical examples. This one's super easy. It takes almost no effort at all. Promote local businesses and events. Highlight a great place to eat or a fun place to take your family. Highlight events that offer a chance to get to know and celebrate your community or embody things that you care about, like a charity event or a day of service or just good fellowship. And even more than just promote, sponsor or work or just show up to these kinds of events. If you have the money to be a sponsor, get on that banner or that event t-shirt alongside other local organizations to show you are a part of the community. You're investing in the community. And if the event needs volunteers, get a group together to help out. We did this for an event at our local zoo pre-pandemic, and not only did it turn out to be a blast, but they let us wear our church t-shirts for the event. And speaking of church t-shirts, get a big group together for that next food truck rally downtown and all of you show up in your church t-shirts. You know, not all marketing needs to be digital. How about this? Create resources people actually want. Make a guide of 25 or 50 fun things to do in your city, town, or region this summer. And of course, make sure your church's VBS is one of them. At my church, I have a staff member who's a big cyclist. She travels all over to ride bike trails, and she's working on a resource recommending various trails in the area. I mean, she knows where to go for an easy ride and where to go for a challenge, where to go if you want to see some nature or wildlife, and where to go if you just need something close and quick. And of course, being a good steward of our health and wellness, as well as enjoying the outdoors, are things that not only people outside the church care about, but they're things that God calls us to care about too. And yes, you could pull a bunch of these together yourself, but this might also be a great way to get your congregation involved. Tap into their interests and talents and specialties. Not only does it take some of the weight off your shoulders, but it allows your community to see that your church is made up of friendly and helpful people who care about what they care about. For example, if you have a great cook or a baker in your congregation, film a quick or easy dinner or cookie recipe. Have a realtor? Ask them to give 3 questions to ask when you're thinking about selling your home, or tips for those who are downsizing after the kids go to college. These resources, they can be videos or blog posts or PDF downloads. And if it's a particularly valuable one or one that you put a ton of time in, like 50 things to do in town this summer, don't be afraid to ask for an email address in return or as a way to get it to them. This is then a list you can email ahead of your back to school event at the end of the summer. All of these things can begin to work together. There can also, of course, be hybrid posts, ones that sort of mix what we traditionally do with what we're talking about here. So instead of just posting a Bible verse, post the Bible verse in the context of an issue or a problem that people face. Chances are pretty good you're already doing stuff like this now. Another example might be having your pastor share some thoughts on dealing with anxiety or criticism or other people's expectations. The key in these kinds of posts that will eventually end up with a spiritual or religious message is to ensure that the beginning articulates the problem clearly and in a way that those outside the church will recognize and can resonate with. Because at the end of the day, we aren't just trying to become a lifestyle brand. There is something that sets us apart. We care about what you care about. We face the same challenges that you face, but what sets us apart, what makes us different, is what we do with those cares and challenges, and how we see them and interpret them, how we process them, and ultimately what we allow God to do with them. But again, not every post is trying to take someone from tips on dealing with disappointment to baptism and church membership in 5 minutes or less. This is part of a process. a strategy that works with all of the other ministries of your church. Ultimately, you want to become a resource that people respect. If people in your community begin to see you as an organization that understands them, cares about them, and wants to help them, whether or not they see themselves as a religious or spiritual person, you become one of the places they will turn when they need help. Let me end with a non-church example. And by the way, looking at non-church brands and organizations and how they do this is a really great way to break yourself out of these loops and mental ruts if you're feeling stuck. But the example that I turn to again and again is Rick Steves. You may recognize that name. You may not. If you don't, you should definitely look him up. He is this sort of like nerdy European travel guru who hosts a TV show that airs on PBS, and then all the episodes end up on his website and on YouTube. He also hosts a radio show on public radio that also comes out as a podcast. That's what he's known for, but that's actually not his business. He does not sell the TV show even to PBS. He gives it away for free. All of it is free. You see, this stuff is his marketing. He runs a tour company, and he sells guidebooks and other travel accessories like luggage and money belts and things like that. But through his TV and radio shows, he highlights places to go and things to see. He gives travel tips on how to pack light or how to save money while you're traveling. He teaches about history and art so that you get more out of your trip while you're standing in front of the famous art or architecture or in a famous location. He highlights issues he cares about, like combating hunger and caring for the world and creation around us. He also happens to be a committed Christian. He's a Lutheran himself, though he's currently working with our own Global Board of Higher Ed and Ministry on resources around the theme of travel as a spiritual act. You see, Rick has established himself not just as an expert on European travel, but as a resource. He's made clear that he knows travelers, he understands travelers, and he wants to help them with whatever their needs are, whether he can make money off them or not. And then, of course, when someone who feels like he's helped them over and over again for free has a need that can be met by something he sells, you can guarantee they're at least checking out his stuff first. And now, listeners, we want to hear from you. What are some ways you connect with people online and in your community that don't necessarily scream church from a mile away? Where do you look for inspiration, either in the church world or outside of it? Email us at podcast@umcom.org, and we just might share your thoughts or stories on a future episode. And you can, of course, use that email, podcast@umcom.org, to send us any feedback or topic suggestions you have for the show. We always love hearing from you. As always, the easiest way to support the show and help other church communicators like yourself find it is by sharing this episode with your friends and colleagues and by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever service you're listening to right now. And did you know that United Methodist Communications is celebrating 80 years of ministry? Your support ensures that the latest denominational news, dynamic stories, and informative articles will continue to connect our global community. Make a tax-deductible donation today at resourceumc.org/giveumcom. That's resourceumc.org/giveumcom. Thanks again for listening to the MyCom Church Marketing Podcast.